IBEC, the voice of Irish business.
Welcome back to IBEC Voices, a podcast series about the people and priorities behind Irish business and the global climate that shapes it. On this series, we aim to get behind-the-scenes access to what is top of mind for Ireland's business leaders, thought leaders, and the people working hard to reboot and reimagine a better Ireland. World leaders and policymakers have descended upon Glasgow to attend the 26th Annual Conference of the Parties of the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, otherwise known as COP. Over the next 2 weeks, we will be running a series of mini-episodes focusing on proceedings at COP, with regular updates and insights provided by Dr. Neil Walker, Head of Infrastructure, Energy and Environment at IBEC. In this introductory episode, Neil provides context for the event, which is widely regarded as the last best chance to get runaway climate change under control.
Hello, this is Dr. Neil Walker, Head of Infrastructure, Energy and Environment at IBEC. As Ireland's leading business representative organisation, IBEC considers climate change to be the greatest threat facing this generation. We continue to work with members across all sectors of the economy to promote more sustainable ways of doing business. I'm recording this podcast on the eve of the opening of COP26 in Glasgow, and over the next 2 weeks, I'll be reporting on the progress of what many view as crunch negotiations. What makes this conference so important? Well, put simply, it may be the last chance saloon for avoiding runaway climate change that will cause untold harm to this and future generations. The last United Nations Climate Change Conference that I attended, COP21 in Paris back in 2015, ended on a euphoric note, with virtually worldwide agreement on the principles for concerted global action on reducing harmful greenhouse gas emissions. Unfortunately, progress since then on the detailed rules for implementing the Paris Agreement has been frustratingly slow. Countries may talk the talk, but when it comes to their nationally determined contributions, many have yet to walk the walk. Collectively, we are not yet doing, or even promising to do, nearly enough to prevent a catastrophic increase in global temperatures over the coming decades. The messages from climate scientists have become increasingly alarming since Paris. Every 6 years or so, the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change produces a comprehensive assessment report on the continuing work of thousands of researchers and climate modellers around the world. The most recent, AR6, highlights that human influence is warming the climate at a rate that is unprecedented in at least the past 2,000 years. This is already evident through changing rainfall patterns and temperature extremes around the planet. It projects that these extremes will continue to become larger and more frequent. And unless the trend can be quickly halted by deep cuts in emissions and more sustainable land use, adverse changes in weather patterns and rising sea levels may take centuries, if not millennia, to reverse. The UN Environment Programme, the UNEP, also publishes regular assessments of the shortfall between what is promised and what is actually needed. Its latest emissions gap reports makes for fairly grim reading. As things stand, the collective commitments over 190 signatures to the Paris Agreement for action over the period to 2030 would put planet Earth on track for a very dangerous 2.7 degrees centigrade temperature rise. A number of parties at the conference have made statements about achieving net zero emissions by the middle of the century, or maybe by 2060, but in most cases without changing their interim targets, and particularly the ones for 2030. The European Union is something of an outlier in this regard, with its Green Deal package being a central plank of Commission policy, and the emerging Fit for 55 legislative package featuring very ambitious member state targets for 2030 that are actually consistent with reaching net zero emissions by the middle of this century. Now, Ireland, located on the Atlantic periphery of Europe, may be spared the worst of climate impacts, but there's no guarantee. And in any case, as a relatively wealthy country, we have a moral obligation to act on behalf of people living or in future will be living in more vulnerable regions. And it is partly for this reason that IBEC supports the ambition of the recently enacted Climate Bill, whose target for 2030, namely a cumulative 51% emissions reduction, represents a doubling compared to the ambition in the 2019 Climate Action Plan agreed by the previous government. Indeed, our 2030 national target is even more of a stretch than the collective 55% reduction adopted by the EU27 as a whole. And that's because the EU target is set against a 1990 base year, whereas our national target is set against a 2018 baseline. And whereas EU-wide emissions reduced by 22% over that 28-year period from 1990 to 2018, Ireland's gross emissions actually increased by nearly 13% over the same period. So we are going in the wrong direction. And some of that is attributable to our relatively high rate of economic growth and a young, growing population. But it arguably also reflects a chronic lack of policy ambition to tackle emissions from heating, transport, and agriculture. On our COP26 webpage, you'll find links to a range of documents that IBEC has published in recent times. One of these, dating from 2019, is a report titled Building a Low Carbon Economy. It highlighted the country's unsustainable greenhouse gas trajectory and the daunting scale of public and private investment needed in new low carbon technologies, along with big changes in everyday human behaviour. Those proposals, in our view, constituted no-regrets measures that made sense in any scenario to meet the then-prevailing Climate Action Plan. But it did caution that poor policy decisions could significantly increase our energy costs, harm the country's energy security, or erode our international competitiveness. And we've certainly seen rising energy costs and concerns over energy security coming to the fore in recent weeks. Furthermore, given the increase in ambition in the forthcoming 2021 Climate Action Plan, and the fact that it will be backed by legislation with real teeth, including sectoral carbon budgets, the need for dialogue between business and policymakers, and for cost-effective, evidence-based decision-making is more important than ever before. IBEC did make a submission earlier this year on the principles underpinning the proposed Climate Action Plan, and we will be commenting on the plan itself once it's made public. But right now, our focus is on European action within the global arena, rather than our national policy framework. So please do keep an eye out for my daily blog as the Glasgow Climate Conference progresses over the next 2 weeks. I would welcome any feedback you might have. My next podcast will cover the opening statements of the assembled world leaders on the conference opening day, the 1st of November. Will they give us cause for greater optimism? In the words of the late Seamus Heaney, let's hope for a great sea change, that a further shore can be reached from here, and that once in a lifetime, justice can rise up and hope and history rhyme. Thank you.
IBEC, the voice of Irish business.